The smell of meat drove me out of the storehouse to rest against the timbered wall. My head was spinning, and I felt sick. It had happened often lately.
You should be careful, little Brunhild.
Gudrun came outside as well, climbing slowly down the stone steps while wiping her hands on her apron. She was chewing on something, a piece of mutton. The old woman had become scrawny over the winter. Age had sucked all the fat away, leaving her a bony frame and wisps of white-gray hair. She followed my gaze across the farmyard to the six men who stood by the barn. It was a cold but sunny morning in May. The birches in the yard were budding and the horses grazed in the pasture. One of the men, a farmhand called Ivar, told a story while gesturing wildly with his hands. All the others laughed. They were far enough away that we could not hear what he said, but we could certainly hear the laughter. Hard peals of mirth hulled through the air. For a moment, I thought they were looking at me, but if they did, their gazes shifted away before I could be certain.
They are not to be trusted, the young ones, said Gudrun. Like bucks in heat, the lot of them.
She spat gray gristle down on the grass. He can't deny me forever, I said, although I was not so sure about that. I could not make myself stop looking at him, standing there laughing with his head thrown back, his dark, thick hair curled out from under his knitted cap. He looked healthy and strong, and his cheeks blushed red in the chill morning air. His hands were buried deep in his pockets. I knew those hands well, could feel the ghost of them on my skin even as I spoke. I can make him do it, even if he says no. Even if things had changed between us, I still held out hope that I would know those hands once more. I found it hard to believe that all was lost.
You put too much trust in the priest, little Brunhild. He was never a friend to women like us,
Gudrun said. Women like us? I glanced at her.
Women with nothing to their names.
Well, he doesn't much like sinners either. I will talk to the priest about Anders. If the priest says he must, he will. I lifted my chin just a little.
Oh, little Brunhild.
The old woman shook her head.
I don't think it will be that easy. Anders has a farm to his name, and money too. Who do you think the priest will believe?
My hand fluttered to my belly, caressing it through the worn fabric of my apron. I have the child as proof. Gudrun clucked with her tongue.
You could have gotten that child anywhere.
I nodded. Anders had said that as well when I went to his room and told him what had happened. He laughed, even, as if I should have known better than to come to him with my plight. I haven't been with anyone else, I told Gudrun, although she already knew that. We shared work and a bed at the farm 6 days a week, and it had become too hard to lie about the changes in me. We often toiled alone in the kitchen, stirring porridge and carving meat, so it was better that she knew, in case I became faint. The fumes from the food did not agree with me since the child took hold. I was often tired and sick. The price I paid for my candidness was Gudrun's constant warnings and a quiet offer to solve my problem with a knitting needle. She had seen this before, she said. It never ended well for the girl. I did not believe that to be true, though. I would make him do what was right, even if I had to force him. It was the two of us together, after all, who had caused this to happen in the first place. I had not been alone in the barn after dark, deep in the musty hay. He had been there too, and I said as much to Gudrun, who had sunk down on a stone slab that served as a step to the storehouse.
Oh, but the world doesn't work like that,
she said as another peal of laughter rose from the group of men by the barn.
You know it doesn't, little Brunhild. If he were a lesser man, he might do you right. But that one?
She nodded in the barn's direction.
He is heir to all of this and won't bother with a girl like you.
She paused to spit gristle down in the grass.
If you are lucky, he will slip you some money or set you up with a tenant, but I don't think he'll do even that.
Her face took on a thoughtful expression.
He is spoiled, that one. He won't care.
I could tell that she felt sorry for me, and that hurt more than any words. I never did well with pity.